Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on into the X-Wing segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. As always, I am your host, Vincent Morgado. Joining me, as per the usual, Mr. Jeff Wilder.
Your powers are weak, old man.
We are unfortunately without the services of said old man, Drew Bishop, who is unfortunately out with exhaustion for the week. We are going to have a bit of a light show, do a little bit of some brainstorming, a little bit of exercising that tactical noggin, and kind of talk our way around the new rules reference, and then what we would do if we were going to Worlds. I actually have, as I've mentioned momentarily previously, kind of a wackadoo list for Worlds that I don't know is still relevant in a post-Sun Fact meta, but we're going to go over what we're working on and what we would do if we were to be going. So, Jeff, you have a better handle on this rules reference than me. Why don't we just start with the first pink letters we can find and go from there?
Sounds good. So the first one is actually one of the bigger ones and more confusing ones. Page 3, the ability queue. Mm-hmm. So we're familiar with the ability queue. You know, if you've got two or more things that are all happening at the same time with the same timing window, you put them in the ability queue in a certain order. They come out in a certain order. That was all there was to it up until this change. So the basic upshot of this change is that you can't rely on something coming into effect during the ability queue to make it legal for you to have things in the ability queue. So you can't, if there is a requirement for your ship to engage in an ability, that requirement has to be met before the ship can go into the ability queue. It can't be met by something earlier in the ability queue triggering it. So just for instance, and this is purely theoretical, if you've got an ability that says, if you're focused, you can do a barrel roll, all right? You can't put that ability in the ability queue if you're not focused, relying on a focus coming from something else in the ability queue. You have to already have it. This makes a big difference for some ships, makes a huge difference, for example, with the Nantex, because they can't chain tractor beams one to the other in the same phase to all get repositions from one tractor beam, because some of them don't have the tractor beam, so they can't even go into the ability queue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's really all there is to it. It's confusing because the ability queue itself is a little bit confusing. And there is still some talk with people about what exactly constitutes a requirement. Generally speaking, the consensus right now is that generally speaking, a requirement is usually an if statement.
Mm.
So, what is it? Old Tarok. Old Tarok's ability can go into the ability queue if you've got a ship. What is it? A ship at range one.
Range one.
Yeah. So it doesn't actually have any other requirements. So even if there's the rest of it, you know, stripping green tokens or whatever, even if that isn't met, it's not a requirement for him to go into the ability queue. So he can do that.
And so essentially the other thing this does is it kind of removes, and I hate this phrase, but it's coming back. People are starting to bring it back. It does remove a certain amount of player agency because you can't, you know, play silly with ability order in order to proc things is kind of the idea here. Like you can't play silly buggers right. With having it does kind of hurt something with it that you built to be a little self-contained.
It does, although the actual extent of the change is not as great as you might think. The list of ships is not like the list of pilots that are affected is not like 50 strong. It might be 20, 25 pilots that are actually affected by this. So it does You can think of it as it lets you, or it stops you from doing those crazy little combos that, you know, that people just don't really see coming, and that is sort of an artistry for certain types of list building. But on the other hand, you can also think of it as it's less gotcha X-Wing.
Yeah. Also, wouldn't it technically affect after statements?
For example?
Lando, after you fully execute a blue maneuver, you may choose a ship at range 0 to 3. That ship may perform an action. Technically, the requirement for that ability is perform fully executing a blue maneuver, but I'm not, you know, I'm still wrapping my head around the idea of the ability queue. Right.
And that's the thing. Like, Lando wouldn't go into an ability queue, which can have almost any timing. He wouldn't go into an ability queue unless the ability queue were after executing a blue maneuver. Right. And there's like, Lando's not really going to be competing with anybody in an ability queue. Right. So it could be after another ship executes a maneuver. You could have an ability queue stacked there, like for somebody else. But he doesn't have he doesn't really have an if, right? There's no once the timing is met, which is after executing a maneuver, the ability queue starts, and then he doesn't have any special requirements. He's got a range requirement. But his range requirement isn't an if then. If his range requirement is just it's just something you check when the ability goes off. It isn't something that you need in order to go into the ability queue.
Okay, then. Well, wait. Okay, here's one that maybe you can help me with. Let me check if this affects it. What about C-3PO? Let me read you the card, and then you tell me if this would be relevant to him. If before rolling defense dice, you may spend one calculate to guess aloud a number one or higher. If you do and you roll exactly that many evade results, you add one evade result.
So what's the timing window?
So his ability. So it's two parts. It's a complicated card. The first part is that you have to spend a calculate before you roll your defense die and then guess a number. Then you roll your defense die, and if you roll exactly that many evades, you add an evade. Here's my question. Would you be allowed, under the new rules, to spend an evade token to hypothetically, to reach the number that you guessed?
All right, so the question comes down to is there a requirement C-3PO has to have to enter the ability queue? All right.
Oh, yeah, you would have to spend a calculate.
The timing is before rolling defense dice. Yes, but... Correct. You would have to spend a calculate before rolling a defense slice. Yes. All right. So, but there isn't a...
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. He would have to have spent a calculate token. All right. So if he doesn't have a calculate, for instance, he cannot go into the ability queue.
Okay. I guess where I'm being confused here is I don't know how he would even go into the queue... Were there no I wouldn't even think to try to use C-3PO if I didn't have if there was no calculate on him. So
exactly, you wouldn't because you wouldn't even think of adding him to the ability queue. We all have probably dozens or scores of decisions that we make in the game that are non-decisions. It's just like we know it doesn't apply, so we just don't even bother. There are lots and lots of times in the game where you could put something in the ability queue. If old Tarok is sitting there and the nearest ship, what is old Tarok's ability? I don't know exactly, because he's a really good example.
It's, I believe it's if at the starting engagement phase, if there is or something, friendly ship within or enemy ship within range one, they are forced to remove a green token, right. Essentially.
Here you go. All right. So old Tarok is a great example. So it's at the start of the engagement phase is the timing window, right? You can choose an enemy ship at range one. You can't go into the timing window unless you've got an – actually, that's not true because it's a May. So you could send old Tarok into the ability queue at the start of the engagement phase. Just every turn, you could do that. All right? Old Tarok has no requirements to his ability. You may choose one enemy ship at range one. Now, the ability isn't going to complete unless he has an ability at an enemy ship at range one, and it's not going to complete unless he's in its forward arc. Right? It's also not going to complete unless it has green tokens, but that doesn't mean you can't put him in the ability queue. We just don't, because what's the point? There's no point to it.
Okay. You mentioned specifically the tractor beams from the Nantex. If that's kind of the modus behind this, are we talking about the pinpoint tractor array ability?
Yes, although I think it may have to do with, let me just pull it up here. It may have to do with Ensnare as well. I don't own any of these ships. I've flown against them, but I don't own them, so I don't know them as well as I would otherwise. Ensnare, 24 points, and still cheap. All right, it's actually Ensnare. So, it's at the end of the activation phase, right?
Yes.
If you are tractored, there's actually a requirement there. You have to be tractored to go into the ability queue.
Yes.
You can choose a ship in your turret arc at range 0 to 1 and transfer a tractor to it. Now, let's say that you've got two Nantex sort of staggered across the board.
Yes.
All right. At the end of the activation phase, one of them is tractored. The other one is not.
Okay.
All right. The tractored one, because it's tractored, can go into the ability queue. And therefore, it can choose a ship in its turret arc and so forth. The other one, because it's not tractored, can't go into the engagement into the ability queue at that timing window, even though in the old days you could put it in the ability queue because there was no restriction on it. And by the time the first Nantex was done, the second Nantex would have a tractor.
Oh, token. Okay. All right. I just got the lightning bolt. All right. So let me try to break this down into small words for me. Basically, what this does is it means that you have to that you're no longer fully completing a single ship before you go to the next one. Everyone with a certain ability at a certain initiative essentially completes their actions independently of each other, and they can't really pass between them. Is that kind of what's going on here?
That's kind of what's going on. The ship one can't rely on ship two to give it something that ship one needs to complete an ability.
Okay.
If it has to rely on ship two, then it can't enter the ability queue in the first place.
All right. So it would be like if you had, this is an old term, hopefully some people still remember it. It would be like if you had two flowcharts.
Right.
But they couldn't, they're no longer able to bounce triggers between them. Like essentially it would be like there was no longer a yes-no that connected them.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, just keep in mind that you could have, for example, at the end of the activation phase, and then You could have another ability that is beginning of the engagement phase, right?
Right. So you could ensnare, you could use, so just the example would be, you could use ensnare on, you could use ensnare from a lower initiative ship to pass a tractor over to Sunfac if for whatever reason he didn't have one. And then he could then reposition. No, that's actually exactly what you can't do. I just realized that.
Right. That's what you can't do. You can't chain them like that. What I'm saying is that as long as the timing window is actually different, you can still do combos between ships. It's just that you can't have combos between ships where one ship in that timing window is relying on another ship in that timing window for its ability to function.
I really wonder how many ships have, like... Okay, I'm following you now. I'm finally there, I think.
Okay. It really is... It's a lesser number than you think. It's about 20 or 25. I think Chris Allen actually went through and he looked through the number of ships. I think it was him. I'm honestly not sure. But it was less than expected. Now there is some controversy about it, like a little bit. I think most people agree that this is how it works at this point. But there's a little bit of controversy about it that some people are saying, yes, you do have to have for Old Tarok, you do have to have a ship at range one. You do have to have that ship needs to be in your firing arc. Or some people are saying you don't have to do it, or actually they're not saying that anymore because FFG has flat out said you do have to qualify before you can even enter the ability queue. But some people are saying that those are qualifications for entering the ability queue. The argument that I find compelling is that it's always, even if it doesn't use the word if, although most of the time it does, it's almost always a, at this time, if this, you can do this. It almost always can be broken down, or every time actually, can be broken down into those phrases.
Okay.
The really, when you're in play, just ask yourself, if you think somebody's trying to do something that, not necessarily trying to get one over on you, but they might not know, because it is confusing, right? It's like they've added some complexity to it. Just ask yourself, is there a requirement this ship must have in order for its ability to function? Because if there is, does it meet that requirement? If it doesn't meet that requirement, it cannot even enter the ability queue. It can't do it. It isn't that it enters the ability queue and nothing happens. It's that it can't go into the ability queue at all.
Okay. I feel like I've all got right. When we talked it out using the Nantex, I feel like that's when I at least got a handle on it. I'm sure there, like you said, this isn't even fully solved one way or the other. But this,
I mean, it was invented for the Nantex. I mean, there's pretty much.
I think no probably doubt what that. This is one of those things where it they also want people to just kind of slow down when they're considering what you can, considering your abilities, and to just eliminate ones that you know you can't do.
Yes, although there's no doubt that there are at least a few cases where there was nothing wrong with the way that it was working before.
What's a good example of that?
I don't know of any offhand. I wasn't sure we were going to be talking about this, so I didn't really study up on it. But there are a few cases where it certainly wasn't broken.
Okay.
And it doesn't work anymore. So, like I said, just ask yourself if what the ship is trying to do, does it have a requirement to be able to do it? And is that requirement met? If not, it can't go into the ability.
You heard the man, folks. Double check what your opponent's abilities. Always make sure that you are on top of the rules. It can be the difference.
Yeah, really understand your own, because it's you don't need to feel bad about this seeming complex. because it is definitely more complex.
Next up, I think in the great list of pink is something listed under roll attack die.
This one's very simple. This one's really easy. This one basically just says you don't get to choose the order in which modifications to the number of attack and defense dice happen. You apply all the modifications, and then the minimum is
okay.
Zero. So you can't take a ship with zero agility, say, okay, I'm tractoring it. It's got three tractor tokens, which we'll get to in a second. So it's down in agility, but the minimum zero. So I'm going to call that zero. Zero minus one is minus one, but the minimum zero, so it's zero. Now it's at range three, so it's got one. That's incorrect. It's zero at range three, one, tractored, minus one, zero.
It's essentially saying that we're defaulting the attack dice to, I can't believe I'm using this acronym, PEMDAS.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
The old, remember when you were a little kid and they taught you how to apply, how to solve complex equations?
Right. There's actually, I don't know if you know this, but there's actually controversy about that now. You should look it up.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, no, it's real, though. It is real. A friend of mine and I were taught different orders of operations, and it is a real thing.
Okay. You are the gambler, the mathematician, the statistician. So if you're telling me it's real, I just, you know, it's just another one of those foundational principles that I'm going to have to relearn, apparently.
Or maybe not. You might have learned it the way that they're saying it should have been taught. Because the basic upshot is how do scientific calculators do it? And it turns out scientific calculators do it in a way that is not the way that I was taught. So, But again, we're getting in way afield. The defense
guys, come on, that's why we're here. Yeah. The next one looks like a real quick change. Is this a change to the initiative step rule?
Let's see. Where are we at?
If a ship is destroyed during the engagement phase, the ship is not removed until all ships of the attacker's initiative have engaged. That's different. That is different.
No, because the other ship is an all ship, and it's of the attacker's initiative. Your ship is still a six, which is of the attacker's initiative. It's just a clarification. There's no change there.
Okay, I wanted to be sure that that's not what I just read, that they were removing simultaneous fire.
No, it's just I'm not really sure exactly what they changed there. I don't have a side by side to look at, but it looks to me like it's just clarification. I don't see that they changed anything.
Got it. Next up looks like to be a change with the barrel roll.
Not really a change. It's not a change. The second part of that is just basically saying, it's just clarifying. It's just explaining what it is that it failed. It was part of a barrel roll action. My guess is that they didn't have it completely called out as a barrel roll action before. Maybe they just called it a barrel roll.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, Not a real change.
Okay. Scrolling on down. It looks like the same thing they changed with the boost.
With the boost, yeah.
Exactly the same. All right, here we go. Here's something chunky for us to dig into. Devices. Looks like they finally got a formal definition here.
Yeah, they also did. I'm not sure if they go into this anymore, but the upgrade slot is no longer called device. It's now called payload.
Okay.
So the reason that I guess they did this is because of that first sentence under device. Devices are objects that exist in the play area and are represented by cardboard markers.
Uh-huh.
So it's no longer an upgrade slot. It's an actual physical piece of cardboard or acrylic or whatever. Most devices are placed during the system phase.
Each ship can only place a device only once during the system phase. When an effect instructs a ship to place a device associated with a different card, that ship must pay all costs, such as spending energy, and place the device as its associated card dictates. Other ships can modify how it is placed as normal.
Yeah, so basically that first bullet point is they're specifying system phase, because there are some, it used to be in a turn, right? And that's no longer, it's no longer true for all pilots. The other thing is just, all they're saying is when you do have a chance to drop a bomb outside the normal order of things, you can use the normal behavior that your ship has, like the nimble bomber that is rarely used for the TIE bomber, but it's a really awesome ability. So that's really, that's for as much text as it is, that's not saying a whole lot. Okay.
Here's one that I do that. Here's one that I love, and it took way too long for this to happen. An ionized ship cannot perform any action except the focus action. Period. This is so overdue. I cannot possibly explain it in words.
And it's funny because this is a huge change in one simple little sentence.
Yes.
No fine-tuned control.
Well, also no coordinates.
No coordinates. It's a big change. It is. I don't know if it was broken before, but it was certainly. It felt like, oh well, this is a way of sort of cheating the whole point of ionizing a ship.
Yeah.
So this feels like a good rules change, and it feels like it's a good fluffy rules change.
And for everyone, the ion, just also we should clarify the timing. The ion token does not go away when you complete an ion maneuver. It goes away. Where is the specific timing on when an ion token is removed? Because people keep getting this wrong, and it matters.
Let's see. After the ship finishes this activation,
there it
removes all of its ion tokens.
So, folks, that means that if somebody tries to tell you, oh, well, I've completed my ion maneuver, I don't have this anymore, wrong.
Well, what's a situation in which that would matter?
It's just, I mean, it would be if somebody doesn't know that that's the rule and they try to get one over there, they play it wrong. You know, it's just, one of those things where it's important to know your timings. Like if you come against somebody who doesn't know that this new ionized rule, he might try to fine tune controls you, and you just go, bro, you haven't actually gotten rid of your ion token until you're not done activating. So you're still ioned. You can only do a focus action. Like that's it.
Yeah, fair enough. And it's very easy to actually invent a theoretical ability. If somebody's got snapshot and their pilot ability is when you attack a ship that is ionized, you may roll an extra attack die. This is still going to, their extra attack die is still going to be in play, even though they've completed their maneuver and landed in your snapshot
zone. You know what? Here's a good one. Dooku. If you were to snapshot Dooku while he was ionized, he would, or there, what? I had it. I just had it and then I lost it. I'm deleting that.
He wouldn't be able to take an, if he takes damage, he wouldn't be able to
pop the scimitar.
No. Dooku is the, if he takes damage, doesn't he remove a red token or something like that?
I think it's the scimitar title I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think you're right, but it's like if you take damage, you remove it. I don't
know. I'm deleting that. That's my bad. Sorry, guys.
But yeah, I agree with you completely. This is a good, simple, fluffy change. It has a very minor effect on Jedi, which need a very minor effect.
Well, I mean, it just finally it gives the control. It at least gives people with a control aspect to their list that control back against Jedi. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And notice this little interaction with droids, by the way. A vulture can't do shit because a vulture doesn't focus. A vulture calculates. So these robots are seriously ionized.
The next one, a ship cannot acquire or ever have a lock on itself. I don't know how you would have a lock on yourself if you can't acquire one.
So there are... there are probably things that make you let you move move locks around. Okay. I can't think of any, but there probably are. But yeah, it's what page are
you on? Just scrolled down to page 13. It's like this two words jumping out.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I should or have. Yeah. So yeah, it is if somebody tried, if there were a way to pass a lock, for instance, then a ship that can't acquire a lock on itself could still have a lock on itself. And that, you know, that could have effect on things like M9G8, stuff like that, where... so there's obstacles under gas cloud. While a ship is not executing a maneuver, if it moves through or overlaps an obstacle, it suffers an effect based on the type of obstacle after resolving its move, if applicable. So that's basically just saying, it's saying if it barrel rolls or boosts or repositions, it suffers the effect. It's just clarifying stuff that we already knew, I think.
Oh, so if you fail a barrel roll, you still take the rock damage? No.
No, because if you fail it, you didn't actually do the move.
So these seem odd.
If a Nantex uses the tractor ability on itself, it's going to take the effect of the obstacle.
Okay.
And the thing that I think changes here,
well, it looks like it doesn't affect. It looks like that this doesn't affect gas clouds.
Because
it's not the look at the ones. This is separating the normal obstacle rules from the ones below it, and gas cloud's not listed. Yeah.
That's weird formatting, isn't it?
I guess it's because gas clouds don't have an active effect. Like they don't have a what's the word?
I think. Well, look at the same formatting down a couple of bullet points under debris cloud. While a ship is at range zero of an obstacle, it may suffer different effects. I think that's just a clarification that is not necessarily associated or not associated.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, that's weird. You're
right. I don't know why it's there.
That's weird. I don't either.
You know what it is? All they did was remove the timing from the obstacle rules above it. That's what it is.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah. Let's see. What's up next? There's something we got more obstacle rules. Some cards can also place obstacles during the game in the same manner as devices. Okay, so I think what that means is that you can't drop a bomb, or you can't drop a bomb and a spare parts cloud in the same system phase because it counts as a device.
No, I don't think so.
Because it does say in the same manner, C device.
Yeah, but what they're talking about is, for example, a rigged cargo.
Right, that's why I mentioned spare parts canister.
Right. But that doesn't mean that you I don't think that means that you can't do both at the same time. It's basically just a bullet point saying there are things that can place obstacles and make you drop things in the same way that you would drop a device. I don't think this is actually telling us anything that we didn't know. I think it's just spelling it out.
Okay.
I mean, if they're trying to say that a spare parts canister definitely counts as a bomb that can't be dropped, then they're doing a really bad job.
Well, no, I guess you're right. It is more about rig cargo shoot because parts canister is during an action.
An action, yeah. Yeah. And the second bullet point is also something that we already knew, but I guess they're just calling it out, making it completely not a judgment call for anybody. If an obstacle is placed so that one or more ships overlap it, those ships resolve any effects.
So that, folks, that means that if somebody drops a cargo chute on more than one of your ships, yes, they all get stressed.
Correct.
Right across in the column across, after an object is placed, it is placed underneath more than one ships, those ships resolve any effect of overlapping the object, which is, I think, the exact same thing they just said.
Yeah. Now, note that bombs, for instance, can only affect one target.
Prox mines can only affect one target.
Even ion. The counter net.
Does the counter net only affect one?
One target. Yeah. And then it detonates. So this is things like the spare parts and the rigged cargo chute.
Okay.
They can definitely affect more than one.
Sorry about that. Not
the remote.
Just a little something. I don't think we need to. We can mention the remotes thing.
Yeah, we can mention it, but it's.
This is nothing new, folks. Ships can move through overlap or be at range zero of remotes. So you can ram a dank droid and it just won't affect anything. I don't see anything here where the droid stops you from taking an action or where there's any other outside effects.
Nope.
Moving on down, the strain token, here it is. The big change to Finn, guys. Jeff, I hope you have a handle on this one. Okay, yeah, lead us into the promised land.
So it's pretty simple. It basically, strain doesn't go away after you defend, which is what made Finn so powerful. He got it. He picked up a strain, and then it went away after it didn't affect him because he's already rolled his dice. And then it went away after he defended. So strain on defense had no effect on Finn whatsoever. This basically just says the effect has to be applied to you if you want to get rid of that strain token by defending. You can still get rid of the strain token, of course, by doing a blue maneuver. But only it isn't the end of defending that gets rid of it. It's after you apply the effect to roll one fewer defense die. So Finn is still good, by the way, people. Yeah. He's still good. He's just not absurd.
Not the best 29 points in the game anymore. He's like the third best 29 points in the game now.
Yeah. Well, let's 30. You're never going to fly.
No, that's true.
Heroic. This actually makes heroic a little bit better.
It becomes easier to proc heroic on Finn now. Which is because he needed that, but whatever. The next update is to the tractor rules. I don't know if this is different, but here it is. The first time a ship becomes tractored each round, the player whose effect applied the tractor may choose one of the following: perform a barrel roll using the standard, using the one forward template, or perform a boost using the one forward straight template. So basically they're not letting you play silly buggers with when you want your tractor token to actually maneuver a ship.
Yeah, I think what that text changed was the first time a ship receives a tractor token, which is no longer accurate. The ship has to be tractored to be moved now. And you become tractored with a number of tokens based on your ship size. So same thing, while a tractored ship defends, it rolls one fewer defense die. You actually have to be tractored before you're rolling one fewer defense die. Pretty simple, but a big change. And again, very clearly targeted toward the Nandex. Yep.
And I think this is kind of the last, or the last of the rule of what you would call erratas. The whole thing about not being able to move upgrade cards to ships that cannot equip them, which is pretty simple.
Apparently now they can do that.
Yeah, that somehow makes sense. Whatever.
I'm fine with it, but only because it's in the rules. It's like, that's a really weird. I do want to point out a weird effect that this has, because half points are so important in this game.
Oh, dear God.
It's really important that you know what your ship values are, the threshold value and the full points value, if you're using any effects that move cards around, because it's the starting point value that matters. If you're moving an illicit from one ship to another, you're not moving points from one ship to another.
Oh, that's a thought I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I really think that FFG should make it the affirmative duty of people to announce when to know what their point values are and to announce it when people have reached.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of room to gamesmanship this stuff.
Yeah, that's they should just a little sentence, you know. They had to add an actual. Sorry, let me order this correctly. Let's look at the FAQs. And of course, the first one that's changed is something that's, I think, been mentioned about three times already, which is, with the loose cargo from raid cargo chute or spare parts canister overlaps another ship, what happens? It is placed under the ship, and the ship overlaps it, suffering its effects. Folks, they could not make this any more clear. If you get a drig cargo chute dropped on you, you are stressed.
So were people, I mean, I know that was a question early, but were people still arguing against
that? I think mostly it was gone, but you never know with some people. Yeah. You know, we all know that guy, that one guy that will just never give it up without seeing it. You know, like, no, I'm not, just put it in the rules reference, bro. Like, we all know that one guy. Sometimes it's me, I have to admit. It's more Q&A. Can an ionized ship perform an action that is linked to its focus after performing its focus action? No. An ionized ship is limited to performing only the focus. Can an ionized ship that is granted a non-focus action after executing a maneuver, fine-tuned controls, or a tied defender using full throttle? No. An ionized ship is limited to performing only the focus action. If a ship attempts a purple action and fails, must it still spend the force? Yes. If Anakin Skywalker in the Naboo N1 uses his pilot ability to roll and fails, must he still spend the force? No, because this is not a barrel roll action. It is just a barrel roll.
That's why that change was made that we were talking about earlier.
For Kid Flash. Does sense require you to spend one force before measuring range? No. That's free information for force users, which God knows they needed more of. Specific card questions. Can Cicatro Visago crew exchange an illicit upgrade card onto a ship that could not normally equip it? No. Which would seem to countermand exactly what they just said.
Right, except, so it doesn't, it's not exactly logical countermanding what they said, because this, the question before was, can it move it to a ship that doesn't have that upgrade slot? Something not having an upgrade slot does not apparently necessarily count as not being able to equip it. So this is an example of a rigged cargo chute, which has a requirement of a medium or large ship. A Z95 is absolutely not a medium or large ship, never will be a medium or large ship, therefore it cannot have a rigged cargo chute.
Okay, interesting. Scrolling on down, this is in reference to the bomb rules from earlier, the payload rules. If Deathfire or a ship with Page Gunner placed a device during the system phase, can that ship drop a bomb after being destroyed? Yes. You can place a device only once during the system phase, but you can drop an additional bomb as instructed by its pilot or upgrade ability.
And notice it goes on to say that there are cards, upgrades that countermand the exception, because these cards have the text, if you've not dropped or launched a bomb this round.
Yep.
And they even though if that text didn't exist, they could do it. Because that text exists, they can't do it.
Yep. Next, scrolling on over, what happens if a ship transfers its own lock to itself, such as used by Admiral Haldo crew? A ship cannot have a lock on itself, so that lock breaks. Very simple. Here's one that one of the ones that I think, Jeff, you said almost broke the game. When an effect checks the difficulty of your revealed maneuver, such as Covenel's pilot ability, do any effects that alter the difficulty of your maneuvers, such as R4 or Leia, apply? No. The difficulty of a revealed maneuver matches its printed color. The speed and bearing of a revealed maneuver also match their printed value and type, respectively. I wish we had gotten to this one sooner.
Yeah, this is this one basically is saying... first of all, it countermands the way that a lot of people were playing, that Leia worked for Kova and R4 did not, because R4 does work. It's basically just saying what matters to Kova and to R4 is what you show on your dial. The phrasing, the parsing that people were doing to make Kova, to distinguish Kova and R4, while clever, was just parsing and wasn't intended by FFG. So they're saying it's just what you showed on your dial. You showed a red maneuver on your dial. It's still red, even if Leia or R4 make it white or whatever.
Okay, and then we should talk about what this does, the question about what this does to Hera.
Yeah, that's... All I read on Hera, because it got, I don't play the Ghost and I hate the Ghost.
Well, she's also in the attack shuttle.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing that I read about it was basically, don't stress out too much about it. Do the two blue forward and you'll be fine. Otherwise, you could get messed up a little bit, but just do the two blue forward, and you could still do the shenanigans you're used to being able to.
Well, because the question is the effect of Nia Numb. Because what Nia Numb would do is would give the Phantom 13 maneuvers that it could access and change. Because it would change the three banks and one banks on the attack shuttle to blues, and then which would give it 9 blue maneuvers, and then it already has, or 8 blue maneuvers, and it already has 5 red maneuvers.
So the question then becomes: can Hera change a 2 forward blue to any of those maneuvers?
The ruling I'm hearing is no. But there is equal pushback on that no.
Yeah, so unfortunately this is one of the ones where I have not followed it closely enough. Just mostly, honestly, sorry, listeners, because I don't care.
Because you don't fly the Ghost.
But I don't. It isn't even that I don't fly the Ghost. It's that I don't even like the Ghost. So... it's like I don't see myself flying the Ghost, so I haven't bothered to stay up on this. I suppose there's, I mean, Lando's ability certainly still works with Nien Nam.
Right, and that's kind of my question on why Hera wouldn't work with why wouldn't work with Hera. I guess it's timing, because Nien Nam clearly affects the check difficulty step, but Hera's ability has to occur before that, I think, is probably the argument.
That sounds like it's probably the argument. The people that I read thought that the argument came down in the favor of being able to do it.
Okay.
So for whatever,
because I had an interesting conversation with somebody that was involving Leia and Rebel Leia and Hera, where I would be allowed. This was just a proto tournament ruling before a league night. I could use Leia and have Hera switch out of a 4K into either a 1 hard or a 3 hard, but still treat them as white, which I felt was very odd.
Right.
Next one is coming up about Padme. If a ship is affected by Padme's pilot ability and it modifies one of its focus, can Emperor Palpatine's ability be used to modify a second focus? No. Because you are modifying a second dice, and you're not allowed to do that with Padme.
Well, so almost, but not quite. The reason they're saying that this doesn't work is specifically because Palpatine says to do this as though that ship had spent one force. If Palpatine modified that die without saying as though that ship did it, then it would work fine. Because Padme only prevents that ship from modifying more than one focus. So they're basically saying that phrase as if that ship had spent a force means you can't right. modify it.
Next up is a question about Seven Fleet Gunner and Predictive Shot. If an effect applies a maximum to the number of dice rolled, and another effect instructs it to roll additional dice in excess, does the order in which the effects were applied matter? No. Once an effect sets a maximum number of dice that can be rolled, the defender that maximum is applied at step 2, roll attack dice, or step 2B, roll defense die. So you cannot get...
So basically,
I got this one. People running Rick Ollier and Seven Fleet Gunner, you cannot wait to use Rick's ability until after you've popped Seven Fleet to get 5 dice at range 1. You also can't do it with there's one other one that can do it.
Well, it's just, but the ability is universal, or the rule is universal. You add up the dice, subtract the dice, and then you look at the maximum, and that's just universal. You do that all the time.
The next one down, we are already, it's the same thing, but for defense die. I think it is. I mean,
you're right.
And the last one is strain tokens on ships like the Ghost. If a ship with agility 0 is strained and defends against an attack at range 1, does it remove the strain token? Yes. Although it cannot be made to roll fewer than 0 dice, the effect of roll 1 fewer is applied, and so the strain token is removed.
Okay. That's kind of clever parsing.
Oh, that's a lot of word soup.
Yeah. I mean, they basically had to jump through a little bit of hoops to make Finn's ability work the way that they intended it, and they found a little clever way to parse the words so that they could do that. So basically, the ship is rolling one fewer defense die. It's just that you don't go to -1; you go to 0. So the effect is still strain, still gotten rid of.
Yeah, because you still defend. I mean, you've still completed a defense roll, just you didn't roll dice.
Yeah, but that, remember, completing the defense isn't the trigger anymore. Applying the strain effect of -1 defense.
Right, I'm just talking about the actual on board effect. Like your opponent will have rolled attack dice. You will have then not rolled defense die. He will then modify his dice, and at that point, and you will then not modify your dice. And at that point, you have now defended with the strain token, and it is removed. Unfortunately, we're running up on a on the clock. I was hoping we'd get through that a little faster, but as with all big rule changes and complicated rule changes, it did drag on. We will have one more week to talk about our predictions for Worlds, or for Worlds, and we will hopefully get to that next week. Jeff, thank you very much, sir. And we will talk to everyone at a future date. Please do keep on sharing and spreading this like the plague via Facebook or Podbean. And please continue to give us your great criticisms. Good evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good week.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.